The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, the lady who's got one up on us and has had a jab. Hello to you.
I have had my jab, yes. I'm officially halfway.
You're a jabby. I said you're
I'm a jabby part one. We'll chat in 3 weeks' time when I am jabby part two.
How do you tell us about it? How did it feel having the jab? What was the experience like, Rolene?
First of all, the reason why Israel is a world leader in this vaccination rollout, yes, we know we procured the vaccines early. We've got very, very advanced data capturing by our health providers. But let me tell you something. Kol hakavod to Maccabi Health. I'm sure that the other three are exactly the same. The level of friendliness, efficiency, helpfulness is otherworld brilliant. You've never seen anything like it. It runs like a well-oiled machine. And it was actually quite emotional. I do confess to having a few tears well up as I was having my arm disinfected and the questions asked, because you know, just to be able to start seeing that light at the end of the tunnel, to be able to start doing those important things we take for granted, you know, going to a restaurant, ours are still closed, and the most important thing for me, which I hope to do, is to be able to see my father who lives in South Africa and give him the biggest hug. That to me is the ultimate prize that I want. Feeling good, feeling strong, a little bit of tenderness after the jab, but you know, I don't exactly have the beefiest arms, but feeling good, feeling strong, feeling extremely privileged, extremely, extremely grateful, and just full of pride at everything that the government, whether we agree or disagree, like them, loathe them, have done to make sure that as citizens we have access to and we are vaccinated. And I just want to remind people, it's not compulsory. Nobody's forcing us to do anything. It is a recommendation, and it really is being part of history, being part of something truly, truly extraordinary.
It's just such a stark, different reality for me, especially today, Rolene, where our president has gone on record today as saying that the rich countries mustn't hoard the vaccines. We have not yet administered a single vaccine in this country, and it just makes you wonder about, countries' innate moralities, perhaps. Very, very, very lucky.
I don't know about anybody hoarding vaccines. I do know that we purchase enough for our citizens, and that, you know, we're not exactly in a position to hoard vaccines. But Cyril, can you answer us where the missing billions are? Just saying.
I'll tell you what, Austin Gibbs has weighed in with a question, Rolene, that is kind of ties up to what we're speaking about now and the issue of the Haredim that we spoke about yesterday. And he's saying, I was speaking to a non-Jewish friend this morning, and the question was raised as to why the ultra-Orthodox, why the figures are so high, and what is their main objection to the COVID restrictions. And I thought, well, maybe you're on the ground, you can respond to that.
Well, first of all, I think we need to be very, very clear that it is not all the ultra-Orthodox. It is certain sects within the greater community. You know, we're dealing with a community that follow the law and the letter of their Rebbe, of their leader. There is a lot of mistrust with government. A lot of these sects that are behaving like this actually don't recognize the state and the authority of the state, which is an issue. You know, we also have to ask the question, where has the distrust come in that they don't trust the government, apart from the obvious, which is not recognizing the authority of the state of Israel? Also, these are sects that don't have access to the technology and the communication tools that we do and take for granted. They're not on the internet. They're not on their cell phones or smartphones getting the information as they should. Having said that, we know that the Ministry of Health, the Ministry of Defence have tried their utmost to help and to educate. Unless it comes from a communal leader, it's very, very difficult to gain that trust and to educate. Also, they see lockdowns, closures of schools, closures of synagogues as an infringement on their rights to pray in a quorum. They see it as not only should they be protected, but also that they should be able to carry out the laws of Torah. That's how they interpret it. Having said that, we have people like Yehuda Meshi Zahav. He is Haredi. He's ultra-Orthodox. He's also the founder of Zaka, which many of you are familiar with, the search and rescue organization. Phenomenal, phenomenal organization. You have Zaka in South Africa as well. He has launched a personal appeal to the community as well, going as far as accusing them of having blood on their hands. He said he has lost, in the space of a week, both his parents to COVID-19. A couple of weeks ago, his brother. He sees, his organization sees firsthand the effects of COVID-19 on the community. And he said, literally, you have blood on your hands for not obeying these lockdown laws. They are there to keep us safe. Just this morning, the health ministry released statistics that 50% of infected kids in Israel are from the Haredi community. One of the reasons that we have hermetically sealed our airspace is because the variants coming in are extremely, extremely contagious. We don't have that many cases of the South African variant, but the British variant, we certainly do. And there is a concern about how contagious this is, and we're trying to stop any and all travel coming in. At the same time, we are starting to vaccinate 16 to 18 year olds so that we can start looking at how we open the schools and the school systems. The other issue with the Haredi community, and again, I want to stress the certain sects within the community, is the mistrust of the vaccine. I know many secular people have issues with vaccines. I'm not going to go into that because having received my first jab, I am very, very pro what the medical and scientific professionals tell us, which is to go and get vaccinated. But this is the situation that we find ourselves. It's a difficult one. It's one that perhaps the more secular lawmakers need to go back to the drawing board and look at how we communicate with these communities.
Last question on the Haredim, and then I promise you I'll let it go. What is their, as a group, what is their reaction to vaccinations? Will they be vaccinated? What are the leaders saying?
Well, we're having issues not just with the Haredi community, but also with certain sects within the Arab community that are religious. They follow the letter of their religious leaders. And if their religious leaders don't believe in vaccines and believe that, you know, they will be protected in other ways, we have a very, very difficult battle that we are fighting, which is why, you know, those of us sharing pictures of us having the vaccine, it's not just because we want cool pictures on Facebook. It's really out there to try and encourage people to get vaccinated, that it is safe, that, you know, whatever your age is, that you are allowed to be vaccinated. It's totally safe. Everybody from the president, the prime minister, I know the Pope has been vaccinated, and to yours truly today. It's important.
Let's move off COVID. Let's talk about Sudan. Quite an exciting development. A first delegation from Israel apparently visiting Sudan.
Yes, we're there. We're there to talk economic cooperation in the fields of water, agri-tech, renewable energy, and to look at ways we can start moving forward. This could be a game changer if more African countries start following suit and start, if they haven't already established bilateral ties, what ties with the Jewish state could mean for them. So it's all good on that side.
Ro, we are going to run out of time, as we generally do, you and I, but we do have to talk about this because it is International Holocaust Remembrance Day tomorrow, and apparently the UN Secretary General stating that we need an international alliance against neo-Nazis.
Well, this is very important. Tomorrow is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's a day that the United Nations have designated to remember victims of the Holocaust, and it's commemorated on the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. This is very different to Yom HaShoah, which is innately Israeli, that recognizes specifically Jewish victims of the Shoah, and that coincides with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. But Secretary General Guterres, speaking to Park East Synagogue in New York, has said that we need an international alliance against neo-Nazism and white supremacy. He says he's very concerned at the rise of anti-Semitism and hate speech. And he said his prime concern is that two-thirds of young Americans do not know that 6 million Jews were killed in the Shoah, in the Holocaust. This is a frightening statistic. And those of you who spend time on social media, even though social media platforms are clamping down now on anything that they see as gratuitously political or newsy, we have had problems in the past with the kind of Holocaust revisionism, and really it's an appeal to everybody to please make sure that we fight intolerance and xenophobia and raise the alarm against forgetting the Shoah.
Rolene Marks, the first Jabby that I've spoken to, thank you for your input this afternoon, and we will chat tomorrow.
I'm now officially a Jabby.
You are indeed. And we're going to leave our Jabby right there.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.